Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop podcast in association with Pick and Roll and Zoom TV. I'm Christopher Tyler, and alongside me is Damien Arsenis. Mate, how's your week of hoops been?
Well, it's a little bit sad, really. We've had an absolute legend retire from the game.
Absolutely, and there's been a lot of accolades about Lauren Jackson, the player that you are referring to. We're going to start off our starting five with that. Lauren Jackson, is she Australia's greatest ever basketballer?
Well, it's hard to argue given the accolades that she's had, and I think it's worthwhile reeling them off given the amount of success she's had across the world. Let's start off as an opal.
Well, she's a four-time Olympian, Damo, three silver medals and one bronze. She's won three world championships, one gold and two bronze, as well as a Commonwealth Games record that was 10 years ago in an absolute blowout. It was a ridiculous series where they won the gold there. And this isn't just on the international stage. This is locally. This is in the WNBA as well. If we look at her WNBL stats, four-time WNBL champion, one with the AIS and three with Canberra, four-time WNBL MVP, two-time WNBL Grand Final MVP, five-time WNBL All-Star. It just goes on from there, Damo.
Yeah, and then you head over to the WNBA with the Seattle Storm, two-time WNBA champion, three-time MVP, and was the first non-American and the youngest winner ever of that award. Eight-time WNBA All-Star. That's just ridiculous. Five-time All-WNBA First Team. She's made the All-Decade Team, and she's already been listed as one of the top 15 WNBA players of all time.
And not just that, but she's inspired a generation of Australian basketballers to come through. We had a chat with Rachel Jarry on SEN earlier this week, and she was saying about how she was inspired by what Lauren Jackson was doing on the international stage and beyond. She's one of these girls that just transcends gender. Don't think of her as an Australian female basketballer. Think of her strictly as an Australian basketballer, because that's how good she is. She could play against anyone and she'd dominate pretty much.
Look, I agree. And this, you come back to your question, is she the best Australian basketballer ever? Well, you can't compare the men with the women, but if you compare what she's been able to achieve, she has transcended that. She's gone beyond that.
And when you compare her career to someone like Andrew Gazes, who is widely regarded as one of the best male players of all time, she's not only doing it on a local stage, but she is doing it in the States and she is doing it everywhere else. Whereas we saw Andrew Gaze dominate locally, we saw him dominate internationally. He didn't dominate in the NBA. He didn't dominate in the best league in the world. That's not taking anything away from Andrew Gaze. That's just showing how good Lauren Jackson is.
Exactly. And Lauren Jackson was widely regarded, and many still regard her as the best player of all time. And you throw in Europe. We haven't even mentioned Europe. She's a three-time EuroLeague championship winner with Spartak Moscow for
she
a couple.
She was playing for a former spy there, I think.
I'm not going to get into that because someone might be listening. And she won another one with Valencia in 2012 as well. And in Asia, little do people know, she also was the Korean women's MVP of their league back in 2007 while playing with Samsung Bitumi. Is that right?
Imagine just having an accolade like that and that being kind of the bottom of your accolades.
Yeah. Like, she's been the best player in Europe, best player in Australia, best player in the States. She's the best player in the world. And we bow our heads to Lauren Jackson.
Absolutely, we do. Let's move on to our second topic, the Albert Schweitzer tournament. The only reason we wanted to have this in is because I wanted to say Albert Schweitzer. Damo, give us a bit of an update on what's been going on here.
Yeah, Australia's finished third in its group with a 2-3 record. We had wins over Japan. It was a big win over Japan and an upset win over Turkey. Isaac White and Jacob Rigoni in particular starred in the upset win over Turkey. So that was a really good win. They had big losses to Serbia and host Germany in the last round robin game. They next take on Greece for a chance to play off for fifth place. That's a winnable game. So if they finish fifth, it'll be a really good achievement, particularly given how young the team is. Half the team, six of them, are born in 1999 or 2000. So we've got 16-year-olds in this team.
That's making me feel incredibly old and depressed, considering they could all smash me at basketball.
Yeah, so Matt Kenyon's been the standout for the Aussies over the past week and is sure to draw some interest from a number of major Division I college programs if he hadn't already.
That's what we like to see. Now, let's move on to the women's game, an NCAA women's tournament update. We saw in the men's, it hasn't been a good year for the Australian men's in college basketball.
Well, it's been a good year, but they just haven't translated that to tournament.
Tournament-wise, the women's were a little bit better, but it hasn't been a good week for us.
Look, it could have been a better week. We had Christy Wallace and Baylor. They were the ones we were riding our hopes on that could have gone all the way. As a number one seed, they fell to the number two seeded Oregon State 57-60 in a really tight game. Unfortunately for our own Christy Wallace, she went scoreless with four rebounds, one assist and two steals in 18 minutes in that game. So unfortunately, that comes to an end. We also had someone else in Alana Smith, Victorian, who was playing with Stanford. And unfortunately, they couldn't progress beyond the Elite Eight too. They fell to number seven seed Washington. So freshman Alana Smith didn't actually hit the court in that game, and maybe that's the reason
why. That must be why they lost that.
It has to be. That's what we'll hang
out. That's just bad coaching.
Yes, but look, we can now look ahead to the NIT, the women's version. We do have someone that's already made the final, or two players that have made the final, actually. We've got South Dakota. They steamroll their way to the final with an 88-54 win over Oregon. And we had Aussies in both teams. Nicole Seacamp, who's had an outstanding season for South Dakota, and Jasmine Trimboli both had really good games in guiding their team to a win over Jacinta Vandenberg, who had a game-high 17 points and 5 rebounds in a loss for their team.
So we've touched on basketball all around the world. Let's move to Europe now, where Brad Newley's facing an uphill battle to make the Euro Cup final, Damo.
Yes, it was a very difficult game one for Gran Canaria. They lost to Galatasaray Istanbul in their game one. The problem with them is they lost by 14 points, and it's a two-leg series, which will be decided on aggregate. So they've got to overcome a 14-point deficit now in the second leg. It's not something they can't achieve, but it's going to be very difficult. Newley was in great form in that loss, though. He had 8 points and 4 rebounds, but it's going to be really tough for them to advance given the scenario they face. So we also look forward to Ryan Brokoff tomorrow.
Yeah, playing for Lokomotiv Kuban. They're in action this weekend in their first leg. Who are they playing, Damo?
Krevena Shvezda.
Sure.
I would take that as it is.
You thought I was going to say that one, didn't you? And I'll throw it back to you.
That's right. So they're in the EuroLeague quarterfinals. So I believe you can watch that game early in the morning on Eurosport Australia if you've got Foxtel.
Now, for our fifth topic for our starting five, we look at Cam Besto, who has had a somewhat disappointing season. It's gotten a little bit more disappointing with the news that he's got a lower back injury, Damo.
I know. It's He hasn't played since the 2nd of March, and I've been really looking to rep his Bulls jersey, but I haven't been able to...
wear it anyway, mate.
Look, I probably should.
Don't be a bandwagon jumper.
Well, I probably should, but I like to feel like I'm part of it, and if he's not on the court, it's very hard to do
that. You're supporting him in his down days.
It's a very good point. I can't argue with that logic. However, he's had a lower back injury, and unfortunately, his injury couldn't have been more untimely, particularly given the number of injuries the Bulls have sustained overall.
And they've had injuries for quite a while, the Bulls. So this is the team that if he wants to get some game time, this is the team to do it with. So if he can't do it now, that's terrible news for Cam.
Yeah, their front court was stacked, and it was always going to be hard for him to get court time this season. But they've all fallen over. And that includes the likes of Pau Gasol, Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah. They've all missed due to injuries of their own. And then you've got a guy, Cristiano Felicio, the only Chicago big man who has averaged less minutes than Besto this season. He's benefited the most from the poor run of health of the Bulls. So he's seen the floor more this month than any time this season, and he even started at center. And really, they were the minutes that Besto should have been picking up if he had been healthy. And right now, Besto's the only NBA boomer, apart from Dante, who's been coming back from his ACL, that is currently injured.
Which is good news because Patty Mills and Joe Ingles are two of these Aussies that are really dominating at the moment. They're playing really well.
They're playing at a very, very high level. We talked about them last week specifically of how well they've been playing. They've been carried over again this week, and they're leading their teams to on-court success. The other three Aussies I want to talk about, given we're going on to another topic now, is the three Aussies playing in Poland right now.
Poland
of all places. It's actually a pretty good league. And right now, we've got three Aussies that are absolutely starring.
It's actually a pretty good league. Like, you know that something is not always going to be rated completely highly when you have to say, no, it's a pretty good league.
It's a very good league. And in many respects, comparable to our own NBL here in Australia. And so we've got Dan Dillon playing for PGU.
Former Melbourne Tiger.
Melbourne Tiger and Cairns Taipan. So he's currently playing for PG Truro. You've got Atir Majuk. You remember that name?
Former Lakers draft pick, I think.
That's as close as he got to the NBA. But yes, he's playing.
He was a second rounder and wasn't able to sign, was he?
They stashed him in Europe. He's the project player.
Stash, yes.
Yes. So he's been playing for Trefl Sopot. I happen to get all these really easy ones to nut out.
I love the name Trefl Sopot.
It's probably not even how you pronounce it.
Yes, it is.
And then you've got Cam Glidden, who headed off after the NBL season to Poland to play with AZS Kozelin, and he exploded for 20 points this past week. So all three Aussies have been playing really well in Poland.
So that's what's happened over the past week, Damo. What are you looking forward to in the week to come?
Well, touched on it briefly. We've got some more March Madness coming. We do have the Final Four, Chris.
The championship game on Tuesday, which is fantastic.
And what are you doing Tuesday?
I'll be doing exactly that. I'll be watching the game.
Great. But we do have the NIT final. And right now,
the women's NIT final, yep.
Yeah, Nicole Seacamp's final game as a college player. So that's something to look out for. You got Ryan Brokoff and Brad Newley in EuroLeague and EuroCup finals action. And I guess the two big questions to leave you with, Chris, is can Andrew Bogut and the Warriors maintain their pace to snatch the NBA record for wins?
Yep. I think it's quite easy. With the amount of home games they have left, and we're going to touch on the Spurs very shortly as well, they've got two games left against the Spurs, one home, one away. Tony Parker was heard on a French radio station the other day saying that Pop's probably going to rest all their starters for both of those games, which means that if guys like Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker were rested, you would have thought that the Warriors would be able to get through. And I don't think if they have a chance to break this record, I very highly doubt that Kerr will rest the players and kind of jeopardize the chances of that happening.
The only X factor there is Patty Mills.
That's true. Actually, you're up, but then you got Bogut, so it's all right.
So you got
that. They cancel each other out.
Yes, exactly right. And then my next question is, can Patty Mills and the Spurs go through the regular season undefeated at home? They're 38-0.
They'll lose the one against Golden State, I think.
You reckon they'll lose that game?
I think
so. Or do you reckon Patty will get them over the line?
No, because Bogey will be there just dominating as well. Bogey cancels out Mills, like I said. I reckon it's going to be interesting to see, though. It's going to be fantastic end to the NBA season. Damo, you've been fantastic as always. Where can we find all your work?
Pickandroll.com.au. You can also follow us on Facebook, pickandrollau, and the same address on Twitter.
And you can find Zoom Sports TV at Twitter, @ Zoom Sports TV. Damo, see you next week, mate.
Certainly will.